Thank you.
I was enjoying hiding there in the background. I think a lot of tech is new and shiny now, and everyone is gravitating to certain pieces, and there's lots of options. You know, we're, for example, still stuck on Intelligent Office, and we're looking to move away, and we're exploring our options. But even in IO, if you know what you're trying to achieve, get the tech to work around what you want to do, rather than trying to squeeze what you do into what they're offering you. And that's definitely a costly mistake to make, because we are all individuals. We all have our own way of doing business. Yes, there are loads of similarities. We're all financial planning businesses at the end of the day. And we've got the great benefit of new pieces of tech talking to each other, which was the utopia of the past. You know, and in some ways that then causes its own problems, because if they're talking to each other, are they doing that correctly? Are we committing to keeping our data in these systems because it's working for us right now? But like Mark said, you've got to be able to take it out as well as put it in. So I would sit down and design the business first. And before you incorporate a piece of tech, ask yourself, what problem is it going to make easier for me, rather than what problem is it going to fix? How can it bring efficiencies? How can it bring accuracy, consistency, rather than we don't know what we're doing, so we'll get this tech and it will help us figure it out? That's never worked for me.
I would 100% agree with you on, you know, understanding exactly what the problem is that's going to be solved. That's such an important, how it's going to make your life easier. Mark, can I come back to you to talk a bit more about, you know, the stages you've been through so far?
Yeah, going back to Tina's point, the first point is to choose the right back office. And I'd say IO is the most rigid back office that we looked at two years ago when we were revisiting the back offices. So we didn't choose back IO because it's awful. It's great at what it does, but you have to do what it does, not it doesn't adapt. So one of the things for us is we started by looking at what we were trying to achieve for clients, what we were doing for clients manually, and how could we automate that to make it more efficient and quicker and better. And that's the first thing. You've always start with the end in mind, and the end in mind in our book is the clients and what you're doing for them. So that was the first thing, is you're looking at what the clients you need to give clients, and then you've got to look at what can you do to make getting that to the clients easier. So the first thing we've looked at and where we are having a degree of success is getting the data from insurance companies into the system. And we're getting this two-way talking between insurance companies and ourselves, and we've started getting that sorted. I think the next stage is now, and this comes back to what Emily was saying, is about the data about the clients themselves. We've got 30 years worth of, some of our clients have been with us for 30 years. We know loads about them. It's not on a computer anywhere. You know, it's in people's heads. It's not written down. Our old back office couldn't record it. And, you know, the current systems that we're using can. So that's one of the things our next stage of that project is to work with a dozen really important clients to see what we can get about them into the system that's better than we've got now. And then and that's quite a big stage, because we're going to start with 12 clients, then you've probably got 1,000 to do, 800. And then you've got the final stage. We're going to look at more about we do time recording. So we want to bring in our time recording data, our other financial information. You know, it's how much profits does a client make? Well, we can tell you that, but it takes forever at the moment. And we need to look at which clients are profitable, which are not, redesign the, not get rid of clients probably, but redesign what we offer clients at the lower end, improve what we do for clients at the top end, And it's only by using the technology that we will be able to do that.
That's really useful. Thank you, Mark. James Gillespie has asked in the chat, what data are you getting from insurance companies? Because James is saying he's only finding that they get the most basic and rudimentary fund holding information. Are you finding you're getting more?
Right.
Are there particular platforms that are giving you more data, perhaps?
Yes, definitely. We have partnered with a data specialist called Contango. And, you know, like AJ Bell, we've had a full download for all the time we've been using AJ Bell. We get a bulk download from them that contains units, unit prices, everything for a client, transaction history, the whole lot. Now, they are at the better end of what we are getting. Some are more basic, but you know, not all insurance companies are the same, but Transact, you get a pretty good download from them. Quilter are quite good. You know, there are companies that are giving us really good information. Yes, some are not giving such good information. And we've already identified that we'll need quarterly workarounds for some companies and for some products. For example, we've got VCTs. I mean, you can't get a download for that. You can't even get, it's hard enough getting the information for that you really need. So we're already thinking that, you know, ultimately we'll need a quarterly download, which we will get from the insurance company, but we'll create a spreadsheet and then load that spreadsheet into the system because that's a quicker way of doing it. So we you know, getting data is a big issue, but by using the specialists and not relying on the insurance companies entirely, it has worked for us so far.
So can I take from that, is the quality of data that you can get from a partner going to influence your platform selection going forward? Because and it begs the question, would you consider differential pricing to clients if they're with a platform that's hard to work with? Are you going to take the additional burden on yourselves, or might you introduce differential pricing, or would that be a trigger to moving people so that you don't have to increase their prices? All very value-centric questions around consumer duty.
And it is a question that we've had in our minds, and we've asked that question because, for example, Royal London data, Royal London on one level are really good for lower level clients, but the data provision is rubbish. So you put them to Royal London because it's a cheap option for lower level clients, but then your data is hopeless, so you can't do the management functions you need to do. And we haven't decided what we're going to do, but the discussion has been there about, you know, do we charge more? Do we move them? What do we do? And we're not ready to make that decision. But yes, we will have to make a decision at some point. Either Royal London start to provide us with better data, because consumer duty, one of the things is for us in particular is income sustainability in drawdown. And the data you're getting from Royal London is absolutely pathetic. And so that is a big factor when for all those Royal London drawdown cases where you've got a nice, easy fund selection for a certain level of clients, but you can't get data to help you meet your management functions that the FCA would expect.
So that's really bringing that issue. I mean, the whole question of differential pricing on efficiency has been something that's been kicking around for about 10 years, but sounds like the FCA have actually, with consumer duty, really brought it up the agenda and given a good reason for firms to turn around and say, well, I've got two options. Either I have people that are efficient, in which case like, you can keep your costs down, or if the provider is inefficient, you have to charge the consumer more. Emily, can I come back to you to talk about annual reviews and how you're... So how are you using the technology to support your annual review process?
So annual reviews, I think, are, you know, similar to with our client onboarding process. I think it's, like I said, having a centralised system. So for us, so essentially in our sort of ideal world, the process should be that, so skip the client onboarding, we've already covered that, but when, so fully onboarded, I think the point being that you want somewhere where automations already happen, you know, a customizable fact find will automatically be generated, risk questionnaire, if, you know, they need to complete a new one, automatically generated, all key information stored in one place. You've already got an automation that's told support that they need to book the meeting, or there's a text reminder, there's a booking link that's gone out to them already, so that the client is, you know, it's down to the client to choose when they want to come in or how they want to be seen. I think it's probably quite, it's quite good to note at this point as well, from, you know, from a client perspective, this is why I think it's still key to be able to be adaptable in this space, because there's so much talk on tech, but you do still, you know, we're still servicing clients that might not be willing to, you know, be part of this. And so I think that's, you know, quite key to note as well. But, you know, and having all of these systems in place so that integrations are a lot easier. You're talking about platforms. So we, you know, we partner with Transact being one of them, Nucleus and Fundment, who, and we do still work with some clients with Royal London. However, you know, we chose those platforms to continue working with, because they do provide the data sharing that we need, and it all, you know, their, you know, their API links, their live valuation feeds, also feeds into income reconciliation, which we now have adopted on our back office system, all helps to basically bring a process together that can be completely efficient and enable to tick all of our boxes, you know, from the FCA point of view, in terms of how we can prove that we're doing this thing. And then eventually, you know, to then move on to the new business process after a meeting, you know, how it can then link to our, you know, our cash flow modeling, our planning tools, but all be part of this centralized hub. And equally as well, going back to, you know, the finished product, after all of this process is completed, being able to make sure that anything you put in, you can take out, you know, that you can report on, which we've seen has been really useful so far.
Thanks. Anya Turvey's just asked me a question in the chat around a piece of legislation that was going through before Rishi Sunak called an election, which was the Data Protection and Digital Information Bill. I'm disappointed to say, Anya, it didn't make the cutoff. Not only did it not make the cutoff, it wasn't included in the King's Speech of legislation from the new government for the first year. They've got to bring it back to the agenda at some point, because we need to modify our legislation to take GDPR, basically adopt our own version of GDPR, which is going to be different from the European version. The key relevance there was that the Data Protection and Digital Information Bill, as it was going to introduce an obligation for all types of organisations, and this wasn't just financial services organisations, it would apply to supermarkets, it would apply to other retailers like Amazon, it would have applied to certain types of health companies, although I think the medical profession were going to have some of the data treated differently, but it basically would have given the consumer the right to turn around to an organization and say to them, you have my information, give it to X. This is a core part of the government's smart data strategy, and the smart data strategy, as I understand it, does have cross-party support. Indeed, it would be pretty crazy if it didn't, because we need our data to be used as smartly as possible. I'm going to come, if I may, to a couple of people that have been actively talking in the chat about different things. Jane Tilbrook, can you share? You've been sharing a few views in the chat, which is great. Would you like to talk to us a bit about how you're approaching both client onboarding and particularly annual reviews? These are two really key issues for advisors. How's your technology helping you there?
Client onboarding, actually, we're completely revisiting at the moment, because our system at the moment, well, our system is not even a system, it's a bit of a wing it approach, is very clunky. So we're actually looking at moving to using the CashCalc onboarding system. because it's quite a fluid system. We've just onboarded two new clients actually using it, and we've had really good feedback from those clients as to how simple it was. One of the bonuses is we are IntelliFlow users, and it does completely integrate the FactFind information into IO, which is a massive bugbear of ours at the moment. So with all our processes, really, we have gone back to the drawing board. We've literally started from scratch, working from client onboarding and then going through to new business recommendation reports. We're going to relook at our review reports. We've just restructured our client propositions into three different tiers, starting with foundation, which will be our most basic tier, and looking at review reports for that. We're looking to see what systems and tech is out there so that we can automate all of our client reviews 100% for our foundation tier, so that we can offer a service to those clients that are not as well off as others but still need the advice, with the hope to bring them on as to more wealthy clients with inheritance, etc. We're a little bit in limbo at the moment with what we have on board, but we are investigating a lot of new tech with the hope that it will give us the scalability that we need for the future.
Okay, that's great. I'm going to come to Anya Turvey in just a minute, who's mentioned, you've mentioned a couple of vendors in the chat that you've had success with. Anya, I think MyCap and Finio, but I'm on the subject of looking for new technology and who's there. Jesse has dropped a link in the chat to the ecosystem work that is on the advisorsoftware.com website. And just to highlight to you, that website is focused at looking at all the different advisor technology solutions as they emerge. The team are very, very busy at the moment looking at new tech. And when you go to there are a number of organizations put ecosystem information out there, but the difference with what you've got here is if you go into the ecosystems, you can then continue to click through into the information to find more granular detail. And we have a team of people that all come from a paraplanner and advisor background. They've all actually done the job, who are looking at this, basically putting themselves in your shoes, because they've walked many hundred miles in the same shoes, which we think is a really key differentiator. That's why we bring people in from that background. So if you're looking, and that service, by the way, is free to advisors. So if you're looking to find your information on tech you want to consider, please feel free to go on to advisorsoftware.com via the link that Jesse's put in the chat. Anya, can I come to you and ask you now to share a few thoughts?